It's a big request that we have. It is based on a necessity. We're having our challenges right now financially, as a majority of our revenue comes from the state of Minnesota, and even with the state having their difficulties, it's not different for us locally, as we're having our challenge as well.
So, again, that's usually what voters in these situations weigh is, okay, yep. is this a need or a want? And it sounds like, again, given the fact that you're in a bit of a pickle from the state funding, that it is certainly a need. What happens if you don't get this? What are the consequences here?
So we went out for a levy last fall, and that did not pass. And as a result, we've made $4 million in reductions heading into this school year. And we were largely able to keep that out of the classroom. And we're still able to continue to do the great things that we do. If this one does not pass, we would then be looking at another $4 million in reductions. And I will almost guarantee you that based on where we're at in terms of reductions from last year, we would not be able to keep those reductions out of the classroom. So when we talk about, like you stated earlier, a want or a need, this is definitely a need because we want to continue with our programming because we're seeing results. I believe it was on your show maybe a couple years ago, and we were talking about our test scores. And so if you remember, I stated to you that we are seeing progress. And just to give you an example, last year in our youngest grades, K through 2, we saw our highest literacy scores since the pandemic. So we are making progress. We are doing excellent work in that area. But when you do that kind of work, it takes a little time to see the results. And we want to continue that good work that we have going right now. But if this doesn't pass in November, that's going to make it very difficult to continue that.
When you say if you don't have these funds and you'll have to make another $4 million reduction in the budget, and that's annually, right?
Annually, you said? I'm sorry.
But the $4 million is per school year.
Yeah, so we would make a $4 million reduction next year to try to continue to stabilize our expenditures without any additional revenue. So
when you say it will be impossible for that not to touch the classroom, define what that means. You told me about test scores, and I assume you've got the apparatus so that there is progress in that regard, but how does it touch the classroom if you don't have it?
Well, we would have to make reductions, which would, number one, increase class size, could, number two, reduce our elective options at the high school. It could also reduce the supports that we have currently in place to support our kids with the greatest needs as we move forward. So those three areas, I think, would be the greatest areas affected, just because our budget is, almost 80% tied to people. So in this regard, there is no way that we would be able to keep it out of the classroom.
The math on this, as I understand it, is about $575 per pupil. What does it cost to educate a student in Moorhead Public Schools?
I estimate that cost to be around that $12,000 a student mark.
And that's $12,000 for their entire time, K through 12?
No, I'd say that's annually when you take our budget, our expenses, and divide that out by the number of pupils we have.
Wow.
I've got that number. I just don't have it in front of me.
Yeah. And question one, there'll be two questions on the ballot, and one is what you just described, which generates this $4 million odd dollars. You do that for 10 years. That's what the voters would authorize, so gives you some breathing room, and hopefully the state situation improves, I assume, there. Question two is on capital projects, and a lot of times when there's school referendums, it's you do this and we'll build X school. you look to be doing it a little differently. Explain what question two would do.
So question two for us continues to support our need for capital acquisitions, right? So what happens in our world is we have what we call an operating capital, which is a restricted general fund. And in that operating capital, that funds everything from the acquisition of school buses, for instance, computers. It pays our copier lease, anything that's capital related that continues to fund those type of activities. In our sense, the last 3 or 4 years, our capital projects formula is tied to our average age of our facilities. And so as our average age has gotten younger due to the support that our community has given us with the example of building the new high school, building the career academy, Dorothy Dodds and Horizon East and or West, excuse me, and the additions we've put on, we have actually gone down in average age, which means overall we collect less on a per pupil to operate or to make those capital investments. And over time, we cannot leave that restricted fund in a negative fund balance. So we have to transfer those operating dollars to cover that negative fund balance moving forward. And so this would ensure that question one continues to support the activities in the classroom and those sort of things to help us operate. Question two helps us prevent, it helps us to keep making those capital investments in the district, like textbook purchases, like I said earlier, school bus purchases. But without that, we'll continue to run in the deficit, which is going to pull that $4.3 million to cover that deficit, if that makes sense to you. This $1.5 million would ensure that all $4.3 million are going to help us operate.